The name like UNHCR, can you blame anyone for being confused about what we do? Behind those five letters are extraordinary everyday heroes and teams on the ground mobilizing to deliver relief, reunite families, and provide safety to people caught in the crossfire. We are the UN Refugee Agency when home is no longer safe. Our thousands of dedicated staff are there with on-the-ground support and long-term solutions to help refugees not only survive, but thrive. Learn more at unrefugees.org.
On this week's episode of Bropostles, can I date my coworker? Yeah, sure. Why not? Let's see how that goes. And also, what can priests do to help lay people actually do the job of lay people and evangelize in their parish? We talk about all that and more on this week's episode of Bropostles.
Welcome to Bropostles, the only podcast for Catholics who take their faith seriously, but not themselves, brought to you by thefreedomgroup.co. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. And I'm excited for today's episode. I don't know why.
I got to tell you something funny that happened to me. I had a tier one Catholic dad moment earlier today.
Oh yeah.
I don't have many of these.
No.
Because I'm not very good at forming my children in the faith, but I'll tell you what happened. So we went on a walk to our neighborhood parish. We go down the street, we pop into the Adoration Chapel. We're sitting there for a few minutes. The boys are, you know, being boys, and we're trying to
crawling
pray
all over each other, and
and then we realize, oh, confessions are going on. There's no line. You know, why don't we just go hop in the line for confession? Mm-hmm. Wonderful, right? What a beautiful time with my family on a Thursday afternoon. It's quiet in the church. People are praying. The candles are lit. The old ladies are whispering in the back. You know, the smells are in the air. You know, it's this beautiful, time.
The scene is set.
The scene is set. We're in the back, and Emma goes into the confessional. She goes on one side, and the light goes on, and I'm waiting with the two boys. And someone comes out of the other side, and I motion to the lady, like, you can go in front of me. I'll just wait for my wife to get out. She'll take the kids, and then I'll go. So, like, you can go. Mm-hmm. And then I set the boys down, and Henry had been playing when Emma was out there. He had been playing with the holy water, like the, you know, the little stands that have like the jugs, and then they have the little spigot, and then there's
the holy water dispenser guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the proper dispenser if you need to take some with you or something. So Henry had been just kind of playing with the bowl. I mean, like, let some water out. He kind of got his hands wet. He's playing with it. And I was like, oh, this is fine. He's just cute, having a fun time. I'm preparing my conscience. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking deeply about all the terrible things I've done as a man before God and others. And Peter goes over and he's playing with Henry, and they've been playing so well lately. So I was like, oh, this is great. They're just kind of dipping their hands in the water, you know, doing sign of the cross. This is so cute in a moment. And I'm just like soaking in the moment. And I'm like, oh, this is so peaceful. I'm about to go get my sins wiped away. My wife, my beautiful wife, is getting her sins wiped away. We're about to have a great evening. And then in the middle of my reflection, as I'm preparing to bear my soul to this priest in persona Christi, I hear, bam! And the entire thing, there's water everywhere. Both boys instantly are screaming as loud as they possibly can. There is water. It is like a river across the back of the church. It's on the carpet. It's on the tile. It's on the woman next to me. Emma leaps out of the confessional. She's running over. I have no clue if she got her penance or not. I don't know. But she runs over, and the boys are just sobbing. And they're so it literally careened off the thing because Peter had pulled on it. And so the tub fell off, and it was completely full. And so there was just water everywhere. And it just, my whole image of myself was just shattered in one moment. I was like, oh, this went from a
running into
Catholic
the church
dad.
lobby, sopping wet. Can somebody please hear my confession?
Somebody please hear my confession. We had to like mop it up into a bucket. We met a nice lady though that lives a couple streets over from us, and she was like, you know, oh, I love this age of boys. They're so fun, aren't they? And I was like, I guess if that's your description of this,
that's a very holy. So if anybody
from Blessed Sacrament needs holy water and you can't get some this week, that's my bad.
Sorry,
that's on me. It was so loud. You can't even imagine how loud it was.
Oh, I bet. Just this crazy. Just this tin. Just this metal.
Immediately
cylinder.
followed by both boys just howling, not because they're hurt. Henry's crying because Peter's crying. Peter's for crying because sure. He's scared.
Because he was scared.
Because he made a loud noise in the quiet place.
Yeah. A big cylinder full of water crashing down onto what must have been a tile floor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And just two boys just screaming. That's the loudest thing imaginable.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I have no story to match that. I know tells a kid's story, you're supposed to reciprocate with a kid's story.
You actually don't have to. Sometimes people can say things and you can say, that's awesome.
Hell yeah. Let's start the podcast.
No, I don't like talking about kids because it does feel very reciprocal, doesn't it?
Yeah,
there's like the little one-upsmanship that has to happen.
You're like, I got to talk about my kid now. My kid is also, if it's a story about your kid doing something terrible, you have to talk about how your kid is more terrible.
It's
reverse if it's a cute story. I have nothing.
That's okay. This is why I try to tell so few stories about my kids, because I just don't like listening to other people's stories. I only tell a story if it's a banger. I only bring it up if I know that it's good. But like, oh, did you guess what he said today? It was so silly.
You have to grade your kids on a curve, and the curve is that you think they're so awesome and everything they do is amazing.
Yes.
And no, but that is an all-timer. My kid destroyed.
My kid destroyed an entire community's supply of holy water. It was like in Rango when they take down the the water tower.
That's incredible. Those things must hold like 3 gallons of water.
Oh, it was many liters, more than I could count.
Anyway, man, that's good.
Yeah, it was fun.
Cool. Okay, so I don't have any stories from my regular life.
That's fine. How are you feeling?
Feeling good.
What's
my
going
job
on?
Is going great. I had a great day at work today. I'm feeling good about my job.
Well, my job was going really great too, and let me tell you why. Sorry,
that's never been the case. I'm always getting into situations, and you're always like stressed out at work.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I narrowly avoided a couple of situations. Did you see the Pillar guys got kicked out of a benefit dinner in Chicago?
What? Hold on.
Yeah, so I'm not a paid Pillar subscriber, so my bad, but I didn't get the whole story. But apparently they went to this benefit dinner for the Dick Durbin Cardinal Cupich dinner. Cardinal Cupich was going to award a pro-choice politician with an award, and the guy declined because church is irrelevant.
Yeah.
No one cares about our awards.
And his name is Dick Durbin, so he really should be nowhere near.
That's like a Superman. People. That's a Superman villain. And so they tried to go to this benefit dinner to like cover it. And they show up, and there's the Chicago police are standing outside with a stack of pictures of people, and J.D. Flynn's picture is on the top of the stack.
That's so funny.
And I responded, I was like, that the only person who gets into more situations than me, I think, is J.D. Flynn.
Yeah, I think so. I think we should have a 10-year podcast anniversary, and we should do that and just have J.D.'s picture. It's like, don't let the, well, he's not invited, he wouldn't come, but
don't
it's just like, just in
in
case, don't let this guy in.
It would be fun to have a 10 year mega podcast where we bring a bunch of guests back.
I think that would. I think we should legitimately do that. I think that would be worth putting some planning into and like renting.
I agree.
A ballroom for a night and
I'll
like having a live podcast, having a dinner. You know, I think that could be really fun.
Really fun. I'll reach out to Josh Blimeycow and be like, "Can you please come back on the show?
Bring your wife."
I need you to tell the story from your perspective, because there have been people.
We'll get the Gray Havens to do live music. We'll get Emma Frad to read a creepy story.
We'll get the Catching Foxes guys on there to talk about Matt Frad and his.
Can I tell you something funny? Yeah. Neither of them have ever been on our show.
Shut up. That's not true.
I'm being 100% genuine. Neither of them have been on our show. We've been on their show twice.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
We've gone through many periods of not having guests on the show. So but we obviously would have made an exception for them.
Maybe.
Although I guess that makes sense, because Gomer is the busiest guy that I know.
You think?
He's always got something going on. You know,
isn't Milo Yiannopoulos pretty busy?
I don't know him. I just follow.
Isn't
him
he there. Like your new gay best friend?
No, he's ex-gay. It's a whole thing.
Hmm.
You can take the you Never mind. I'm not going to talk about taking things out of things. Anyway, we're going to move on from that.
Let us know what city we should have our 10-year anniversary party in, because I don't think we should have it in Melbourne, Florida. I also don't think we should have it in Wichita, Kansas. And so
I agree. Both of the places we live are bad for that. I do think Melbourne is great, but I don't want a bunch of people to come and discover that. Crunch listeners are fine. You guys can move here, but I'm afraid now that a bunch of New Yorkers are going to leave New York and a bunch of Californians are fleeing the wildfires, that they're all going to move here. So I would like to let you know, snakes, alligators, hurricanes, very scary. Do not come. We are full. Thank you. I appreciate it. Go to Austin, Texas. Thanks.
There was an article in a National Catholic magazine about my neighborhood, and they interviewed people who live on my street. And so it's entirely possible that my area starts to get flooded with all kinds of creeps and weirdos that read the National Catholic Register. So
that's what happened to Steubenville. Everyone found out that Steubenville was like this Catholic Mecca, and everyone started moving there, and they had,
but now like cool stuff is happening. So is it really that bad of a thing?
No, it's not that bad, but the New Polity guys did have to do a whole episode where they said, hey, can women move here too? Cause it's only 20-year-old guys. Can we have some women, please? Not for us, for them. We're married. We moved here with wives and kids, but these guys need wives and kids. All right. Let's answer some questions.
Republicans at the border. Can some women Latinas come over, please?
Oh, man. I thought it was funny.
Too many hermanos, not enough hermanas.
Ed Condon made the point that it was funny that they got stopped for not having the proper identification at a dinner for immigration. And I said, Ed, you're not allowed to make that point. You're MAGA now. Sorry. Yeah. That's what happens. You say something vaguely Republican.
Yeah. Ed's always been MAGA.
Ed's always been MAGA. Anyway. Okay. Question from the pianist. This can be for the podcast. When do you know if someone is just not interested? I wanted to ask this girl out last Sunday, but she went to a different mass. I have a girlfriend. She goes to a different mass. I made up my mind to either ask her in person or call her. I got her number from my sister, sent her a text. The next day, I sent her a text asking if she was available, in which she didn't respond. So I'll let it be. Today, I saw her in church, but I was unable to ask her anything. I called her tonight. After only two rings, it went to a voicemail and hung up. I asked her to call me back when she had a better time. Would you keep trying or let it go? What do you think?
I mean, you got to do your seven follow-ups before you let the lead die, you know?
It's true.
You got it. Persistence, I think, is an underrated virtue amongst men these days. I think it's easy to feel like a serial killer, you know, because like we have this image in our minds of like the only guys that are persistent are either like rapists or murderers. You know, there's like no... We don't really have any model for like the virtuous, persistent fella other than like Steve Rogers in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes. All right.
Who you know, travels through time and steals a couple magic stones. And so he can go, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The end of Avengers Endgame. So
oh, yeah, I'm familiar.
I think you keep trying. Silence is compliance, you know? Mm. No means yes.
This feels dangerous to say.
No, until she's like, here's the thing. If she gave you her number and you think there's some kind of spark there, just keep trying.
Just keep going for it. Yeah. What was that? How many tries was that? That was
two, I think.
Yeah,
two official is not tries. Nearly enough.
Yeah, two official tries, and then the other times you saw her, you can't count the seeing her as a try.
No,
that doesn't work.
Women are very busy creatures because they're thinking about, oh, I need to get another blanket. Mm-hmm. You know, they're busy with, oh, it's getting cold, bigger socks, please.
Yeah.
I need a new device for my kitchen. That's what they're thinking about. They're not thinking about like, oh, I got to call this guy back. You know, They're thinking, oh, I just found, hey, honey, you know, it would be great. We could sand this down and refinish this. It's only $10 on Facebook Marketplace and 50 hours of manpower. Doesn't that sound like fun? That's what women are thinking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Women be thinking. That's what I've learned. I have nothing to add. I think you should, you gotta keep going. Speaking of dating and sales, did you see what Ben sent us?
No.
Okay. Apparently someone asked a girl out and they took the sales metaphor a bit too far.
Oh,
and
no.
Ben thinks that we should react to it. And
okay,
so
I'm ready.
I'm gonna
because you did kind of. I was joking about the 7 follow-ups thing, but I do think there's something to it.
Yeah, let me
share your screen.
Let me share
my screen. I'm not sure how to do it. 5 years into COVID, 5 years into having long COVID, and Patrick still doesn't know how to share his screen.
No, I do know how to share the screen.
Patrick's a bisexual with long COVID. And he can't share his screen.
Patrick, shut up! I'm sharing my screen right now.
Okay,
you have to add it. You have to add it.
All right. Oh, no, I'm the bisexual. All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
Girl at the bar last night gave me her email. She said, I don't have Instagram, but you can have my email. I said, perfect. She thinks I won't email her, so I emailed her. When I got home from the bar, I said, hey, Julie, thanks for giving me your email. I enjoyed dancing with you last week and tonight. Attached is a pitch deck. The Julie pitch deck.pdf.pdf. First page. Hi, Julie. You probably thought I wouldn't email you. Joke's on you. I wrote you a pitch deck. The purpose of this pitch deck is to tell you I like dancing with you and to convince you to be my friend. Pictured is us dancing. Look how happy you are. Reasons you should be my friend. Reason number one, I wrote you a pitch deck. Reason number two, I'm pretty good at dancing. You like dancing. Reason number three, I don't let people crash into you on the dance floor. This is actually really annoying when people do that. Reason number four, I have great music taste. Ask me to send you a playlist. Call to action is very key. Reason number five, I'm very new to dancing, but I'm determined to learn new styles. So this is like investing in early stock. Your dance partner will only get better. I'm currently learning merengue, waltz, and two-step. Reason number six.
This guy's got too many steps.
Cool. Yeah, it's too many.
Fun facts about me.
Can we just stop, please?
Fine. There's a pitch deck. There's a pitch deck. That's funny.
I thought for sure it was going to end at some point, but he just kept going.
Yeah, he just kept going. And apparently it worked.
Stupid mustache is pissing me off.
If you missed it last weekend, girl at the bar,
this is another 2 minute video.
Can I have your Instagram? I love dancing with you. Can I call you Dash?
Nice.
Man.
She responded with a pitch
deck. How do you know that my niece calls me Uncle Dash?
It's because that's actually kind of freaky. She knew that deep.
Yeah, I mean, other than this guy's, you know, safe, horny visual presentation, which I don't appreciate whatsoever. I really don't like this type of guy generally. Yeah,
you don't like mustache trucker hat guy?
I don't like mustache trucker hat guy, childless, lives in Austin, Texas guy. This is my least favorite type of guy. He does live in Austin, Texas. There's something about, this is a side tangent, but there's this YouTube channel called Hunter Williams. He's a nice enough guy. He's in his young 20s. He's married. He's got a bunch of friends. They all live close together. He makes videos, fun videos, like one he just did where he replaced his friend's pets with other pets and like saw if they noticed, you know. It's basically like a friendship simulator for people who don't have kids.
Oh, man.
But like all of the guys in the videos are that type of guy. And it makes me like, I love the concepts of their videos because I think they're interesting, but I can't stand like the people in them.
It's that TikTok. It's the unironic version of that TikTok where it's the four boys in the woods and they're like the sensitive one. Have you seen that video?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's that video, but they're like fighting like, no way. I think I'm the playful one actually. Like now that they're all the same guy. All right.
I don't appreciate that type of behavior. So I think it's cool to be creative. I think that's fun to send if a girl gives you her email, to just take that in the best light possible and assume that she's playing a little hard to get, you know?
Yeah.
If you assume every woman is playing hard to get, eventually you will get got.
You will you get. Know? Eventually you will get. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's how you do it.
I think that's fine. What do you think?
Good job, man. That's taking the sales metaphor far. I like it. That's good.
Shave the mustache, though, or at least trim it down. Goodness.
Okay.
He looked like Jamie Hyneman.
I don't know who that is. Okay. Cue for the P. Question for the pod. Answer some or none. Oh, a couple of cues for the P. One, how do you tell... This will be rapid fire.
Okay.
How do you tell a guy you've never had a boyfriend? I'm over 25 and it always comes up on a first date and it's never a great reaction. Fellas, why are you asking girls how many boys they've dated?
It's like that Shane Gillis bit where he's like, every white guy at some point has been like, have you ever... And I don't think you have to say I've never had a boyfriend. You can just say, you know, I've never been in a serious long-term relationship.
Yes, that's technically true.
Yeah. So you don't have to specify I've never dated anybody, but you can just say, yeah, I've never met anybody that was worth settling down for.
Yeah. Maybe you could change that.
And then you can kind of glare across the table like, I've never met any men that are man enough for me.
I've never met a man who's willing to email me a pitch deck, too long pitch deck. I do think that for comedic purposes of posting it on the internet, it should have been shorter. But I think the long pitch deck works better.
Long pitch deck is funny when it's you receiving it. When it's you giving it to me slide by slide and I'm a straight man who's married and I don't know who you are, then I'm like uninterested in your
video. Yeah, like, I don't get all the inside jokes. It relied a lot on inside jokes, which is
good.
It did.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number two. How much flirting should you do in the talking stage?
What does that even mean?
I was 25 when I first heard the term talking stage. I had a child. And I was like, I don't know what that is. So I don't know the answer to that question. Is it good to practice if you still aren't sure you want to date them, like flirting and, you know, like you're flirting, you're kind of testing? Yeah, fine. How much flirting? 7. That's how much. Number 3. Do you think intentional debt is ever a positive strategic move?
You're really rapid firing these. I didn't even get a chance to answer the second one.
Oh, you want to answer the second one? I didn't see much merit in the second question.
Well, how much flirting should you do in the talking stage? How much gas should you put in the gas tank of your car?
How much should the sun come up in the morning?
Okay. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like, that's what the talking stage is, flirting. That's what it is.
That's all it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think intentional debt is ever a positive move, like a car loan, student loans? Opening a new credit card to get 0% APR. I don't know, Ethan. What do you think about opening a new credit card to get 0% APR for 18 months? What do you think about that,
we've
Ethan?
We've been carrying a balance for quite a while.
What do you think about that, huh?
I think the returns have yet to show themselves.
I
was promised big returns on this credit card and on these courses that we purchased, and I've seen very little in the way of returns. You've seen some returns.
I've made all the money back, but it all went to Nevy Media. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So the question is getting into debt a good thing? Typically, no.
Yeah.
But there are circumstances where you should. Like if you could, like if there's maybe like a TV that you really want, at Rent-A-Center, that would be a good time.
Yeah, I think if you
if you're at Ashley Furniture and there's like a couch with a fridge in it.
Yeah, if you want like the 60-day same as cash and you just see this amazing lazy boy that wirelessly connects to your brain so you don't even have to like move your finger to change a channel, I think that's worth it. Yeah, consumer debt is typically a bad idea. Sometimes car loans are unavoidable. Student loans are a different kind of thing altogether. Ultimately, try not to get into debt. It's the same as, I mean, people will tell like, okay, so you have a 2% mortgage rate and the stock market returns on average 8% a year. So should you invest the extra cash you have in the stock market or should you pay off your mortgage? There's like two schools of thought on that. Doesn't matter. Do you feel more comfortable having no debt? Get out of debt. I don't know. You're going to have to really pay it off eventually.
Yeah. I would suggest not being in debt as much as you can.
Yeah. Leveraging other people's money to start a rental property flipping business, usually a bad idea. I've met a lot of flippers in my day. And they are interesting people.
What you need to do is you could borrow. This is the only way it's acceptable to borrow money. Okay. You borrow money from one guy And then you borrow money from like two more people, and then you use that money to pay back the first guy. Mm-hmm. And then you just keep finding guys to borrow money from, and you have a great track record of returns. And you can do that for a long time before
anybody. That's what the U.S. economy has been doing for decades.
Yeah. They should put the U.S. economy in jail.
Yeah. So don't go into debt. Try not to. The stipulation was 18 months, the credit card for 0% APR for 18 months as a cushion while unemployed. That seems like a really bad idea. That seems like a last resort style thing. That seems like my family can't help me sort of thing. If you're so down bad that you need, that you're thinking about a credit card to cover basic living expenses, you should try to lean on your natural like relationship network first before you say, I'm going to go into debt to the Bank of America.
Yeah.
Or it's funny that we're like,
I could never ask anyone in my life for money, but you know who I can ask for money?
The bank.
The bank. One of the largest corporations in the world.
Yeah. If you're going to break a Dave Ramsey rule, break the asking family for money rule. Like, come on. It's anyway. Okay.
Patrick.
Yes.
I have a craving.
I mean, for what? That's a good question.
Pornography.
Oh, cool. Well, you should be talking to me about that.
Who should I talk to?
This isn't men's group.
Who should I talk to about it?
You should go talk to the Freedom Group, guys over at thefreedomgroup.co, because okay. They'll talk to you you can get a free consultation, 30 minutes. They'll talk to you and we'll see if they can help you out. And then if you do decide to work with them, you can work with them for a year.
But what if I have a craving for pornography and it doesn't go away in a year and I've paid to work with them? What do I do? What happens after that?
They will come to your house and they will beat you up.
I don't know if that is part of the curriculum. Let's
I don't
be
think
clear.
That's part of the no. It's not. That's no, part if of what you don't, do. If it doesn't, if it's not done in a year, they'll work with you for free until you are free of your craving.
What if I don't struggle with pornography, but I have other cravings that are hard to deal with? Would they help me too?
You should talk to them still, because the strategies that they use work for any craving. So if you're having a problem with pornography, or if you're having a problem with food, or you're having a problem with other kind of like destructive behaviors, you can talk to them, meet with them, and they will work with you, and they will help you get rid of that craving, because it's all psychological. It's all in your head.
What if it's... Never mind. Thank you for sponsoring this podcast.
We can only go so far with jokes in the ads.
In the ad, yeah. Thank you for sponsoring the podcast, thefreedomgroup.co. They do the best work of anybody.
They're so
go
great.
Check them out. Yeah, right. Thanks. Bye.
Father Can't Touch Kevin G asked, what is the ideal priest involvement in layer family-led initiatives as ministries? I love seeing things organically pop up without a parish doing it, but I want to support it. But I don't want to stifle anything because now Father is involved. Ideally, I show up and I'm just there. What do you think?
I think the biggest thing is what people need most often, and you know this already, is we need the sacraments, or we need confession at our things, or we need the Eucharist at our things, or we want someone to help us, you know, with night prayer at our things. And you can do all of that, you know. That doesn't have to be your only role, but that's most often what parishioner-led ministries need, is your availability to help us out with the sacraments.
Yeah.
But if it's not that sort of thing, like, I don't know. I think you just going to somebody and saying, hey, I know you've got this thing. Really excited. I want to help you however I can. Here's my phone number. Call me anytime. And I think that permission to whoever is running it,
yeah,
will then allow, you know, you can kind of figure it out.
It's running. It also depends on whether you're the pastor or the parochial vicar. If you're the pastor, stay out of it. That's fine.
The pastor anyway.
It'll get tangled up. I love our pastor, but I think he understands the distance he needs to have, because especially these bigger churches, it can be a lot. You don't want to show favoritism. Whereas the parochial vicar, he has the best job in the world. He can do whatever he wants. You know, you can go to people's houses. You can go to the picnic. You can go to the potluck. And I'd also say running interference in the parish office and at the pastor.
Oh, true.
Just making sure that when the well-intentioned, this doesn't happen in my parish, when the well-intentioned but slightly misguided secretary sees that there's a bounce house and that goes against the diocesan liability insurance, you just kind of say, yeah, let's circle back to that at the next parish staff meeting, and then you just forget about it.
Thank you so much for letting me know. I'll take care of this right away.
And then you just kind of let it fall off your plate.
Yeah, do nothing.
That's what we need you to do. I'm so serious. It's like you just need to use like what you have, and what we have is like is access to relationship networks that you don't have. Like family relationship networks are strong, and priests by their nature don't have access to them the way that families do. They're like moms and dads do, and so we have that. What you have is like institutional clout. And so what we need our priests to do is we need them to make sure that the cold, uncaring machine doesn't crush us while we're trying to do good for the church. That's what we need our priests to do, is that we need you to be the loving fathers that don't let the diocesan monster attack us. Again, well-intentioned people in the chancery office that have different priorities, like making sure the diocese doesn't lose millions in lawsuits. I understand. But you know, as a priest, you have to keep your priority, the life of the parish. And so just, that's what we need you to do. Thank you for the question. Cause I'm a big proponent of like, just do it. Like just go lay people, just go start a ministry. I have two really great friends who started an amazing young adult ministry. It's completely run by them. They run like a 150 person retreat every year. It's crazy. They run a young adult ministry out of their house. And they have gotten in trouble before, from the machine, you know, and, it's hard because they're good people and they're trying to evangelize. They're trying to create a home for young people in the church. And, sometimes the church wants ownership of things. And you don't need ownership. Like we are the church too. And so you don't need to own our activity, you know? So I like when priests and parish staff think that way, think like, I'm just here to support. That's one thing I love about my parish, is like parish council conversations. How can we support these people doing these ministries? And so just like making sure that people aren't like, making sure people in the office don't have the attitude of, how can I fix this ministry? Who is this ministry under? You know, like the mom's book club, like, is that under, you know, John because he's over young adult faith for me? Stop. just let it move, support it, move on. Yeah, that's, I've seen too much of that in my years. I've seen too many things.
You're clearly scarred.
Oh man, you just can't, even just 4 years in parish ministry, which is not a lot. You just see things and you're like, you can't unsee them. You see things how the sausage is made and you're like, how have we lasted 2000 years?
Dude, there should be like an X-Files style show, but instead of like crazy supernatural things and FBI agents, it should just be two church workers seeing the most heinous bureaucratic interference that you've ever seen in your entire life.
It's, you know, what is a bureaucracy? A bureaucracy is a system.
Hell.
It's hell. Oh. It's a system where the members of the system are incentivized to protect themselves, right? Because ultimately that's what's happening when a diocesan lawyer or HR professional says, we can't have this event because it's not sanctioned by the diocese, right? Like, we can't do this because it's not under the diocese. What are they worried about? They're worried someone's going to slip and fall, and they're going to sue the diocese, and then the diocese is going to have a lawsuit, and then they're going to get fired. Like, that's what they're worried about. And so they're not worried. They're not incentivized to the mission of the church, which is why it's so important that priests are celibate, because they're tied to the church in a way like they can never get fired. As we've seen, that was so much the case that it was bad. You just get moved around. Whereas like lay employees are very much incentivized to, I can't lose my health insurance. And so that creates a parallel incentive structure where lay employees have to make decisions based on whether or not they'll lose their job, you know, and they can't. Yeah. I was in that situation where I was like, I was in a situation when I was a youth minister where I had to make a tough call about a ministry event. And the next day I got phone calls. I got a phone call from a parishioner. It only takes one that said they were going to like report me to the Dawson Safe Environment office. And they were like filing a complaint. And I was like, oh no, I have an infant.
In retrospect, I should not have done the boys and girls under 14 swimsuit pageant at the, in the youth room. That was maybe not the brightest idea.
That was a mistake. Oh man. No, it was having a bonfire with only two core team members, like myself and another member, and the other member had to leave early. And uh-huh. So it was like we were having an out, but you know, we had a meeting about it. We said because it's outside, it was fine because it wasn't enclosed space, and so it didn't violate safe environment. But one person drove by and reported it, and I was like, "Oh, I might like lose my job over this. That's crazy." So it's like I was like, "Oh, so now I have to make ministry decisions based on whether or not I'm going to lose my job," and that felt icky, you know. So anyway. Just your job as a priest is to run interference in the parish office.
Your job as a priest is to make sure that the child pageant is for adults only.
Correct. It's very important that the swimsuit competition is 18 plus.
18 right. plus.
Just kidding. Okay. This one's from Kev Meister. Is it okay to ask out a coworker and how do I do it?
Is it okay?
Context. I am an EMT. Okay. I have an irregular work schedule. I end up seeing this person about once a month. I'm not super into this person. However, she seems to love Jesus and I want to learn more about her. That's good,
so funny. Is it okay if I ask out this person that I don't really like or find attractive at all? It's like, okay, I guess.
No, he does find her attractive.
That's up to you, bro. It's your life.
He's not like super into her, but he wants to get to know her more. I get. Yeah, you should ask her out if you only see her once a month. And you can even hit her up. You can even like you can even like hand her an AED and she's like, "What's this?" Although she probably knows what it is. But like, why are you handing me this AED? And you say, "Well, because when I saw you, my heart stopped."
Yeah.
There you go.
You could hand her an oxygen tank and be like, "You want to get high on oxygen?"
I had one in the can. It's like, you can hand her some Narcan and say, "I'm overdosing on love for you."
Nice.
But that one was better. Thanks. I shouldn't even have said mine. Yeah, ask her out. It's fine.
Yeah, this sounds really cute. I think it's coworker. The problem with asking coworkers out is when you're in the same office. When unmarried people go to the same office every day, it is like playing house in like a really odd way. Correct. And so when you start to cross, it's everyone's a sibling until people become mommy and daddy. And then when people become mommy and daddy, it gets very weird in the house. You know, This is true everywhere. And so it doesn't sound like you're going into an office, you're paramedics, you're on the go. Paramedics are also like a wild and crazy bunch. So yeah, I feel like you can get away with quite a bit.
They're unflappable. That's one thing I've learned about first responders. Like I had a friend who was a state trooper and he just exuded statey energy. He was that guy. He was Matt Damon in The Departed. Wait, other one. Who was? No, Matt Damon.
Mark
was
Wahlberg?
No. Matt Damon was the state trooper in The Departed.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio was in it, but he wasn't the state trooper. Matt Damon was the crooked state trooper.
I guess. It's been a while since I've seen it.
They call him Stadies in Boston.
Stadies.
I was talking to him. He went on like a double date with someone, and later in the week ended up pulling him over for doing like 20 over the speed limit. And he recognized the guy driving, but the guy driving didn't recognize him. And I was like, "So you let him off with a warning?" He just looks at me stone cold. He's like, "Oh, I don't give warnings." And I was like, "Damn."
That's all awesome. Right. Beast. Awesome.
20 over makes sense. I wouldn't give a warning for that.
20 over is a lot.
It is a lot, especially if you're on the highway.
He probably doesn't pull people over unless they're going a speed with which, a lot of people go warning speed and they might get pulled over because the cop is bored, you know?
Yeah. In the Northeast though, their highways are built for 80 mile an hour speeds, but the speed limit is like 55, you know, and everyone's going 80.
Well, they all got to get their bacon, egg, and cheese.
They got to get their Dunkin'.
They got to get their Dunkin'. They got to get their bacon, egg, and cheese, and they got to go smoke crack or whatever they do over there. I don't know.
Over there on the East Coast. Yeah. Okay, married bropostles. What are things you wish you had done before marriage or before meeting your spouse that would have prepared you for marriage? I guess one example I could think of would be personal finance wise or anything in the practical aspects of life to help join your life with another person while maintaining important relationships and commitments, etc. Well, what would you have done to better prepare yourself for meeting your spouse, Ethan?
I would have been so jacked.
Massive.
I just ripped. Oh, my glutes, my back, my shoulders.
Speaking of glutes, I need you to see this. I need you to see this picture of this guy. Okay. It was Pinesap tweeted it, and it looked like it was him, but it's not him. But this guy, dude. Speaking of glutes, all right, here we go. You have to remember, you have to hit accept when I share the screen.
Okay, all right, get on my back.
Look at this guy. That's what you should be doing before you meet your spouse.
Oh my, he's caked up.
You should be glute maxing. If you sit down, it should be in two zip codes. That's what you should be doing. That guy is massive. Ah, I love it. All right. Personal finance wise, it's helpful to get out of debt because you're probably gonna have to pay off her debt, and because everyone's in debt now. Other than that, personal finance is pretty easy. There's a pretty well trodden path of how to get financially fit, get physically fit, get emotionally fit.
I would read all the books that you would want to read before getting married.
You should be interesting, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a certain level of taste that you can acquire as a single man mm-hmm. that you are unable to acquire as freely as a married man. And I don't mean that like, oh, the old ball and chain won't let me do what I want to do. But you are no longer your own person. And so you have to kind of fit in with someone else's habits and wants and needs and desires. You can't just do your own thing. So the time to develop and form, you know, a personal style, personal taste, aesthetic taste, literary taste, musical taste, all of those things, those all should happen when you're single, if that's of any interest to you. Artistic pursuits, you know, all of that stuff. Get on it before you're married, because there's just less time to do it once you are married.
That's true.
For multiple reasons. That'd be a big one. Yeah. Yes. For good reasons too. It's not like it's, again, I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing. You're just more restricted, you know, and that is a neutral statement, you know?
Yes. It's just part of life. Cause then you get, you know, there's seasons, right? It's like, it's hard. Having young children is hard, and then they get older and it gets easier. You know, mm-hmm. just there's life.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. I lost it. Here it is. Real question from Anchor. Here's a real question from Anchor. The best way to meet single women is, okay, this doesn't seem like a question. Oh, the best way to meet single women is at the Tuesday night young adult volleyball game. I have said this for years, but I have to lead an OCIA group at the same time across town on Tuesday. How do I make this work?
They'll get in without you. Yeah, they don't need you.
I don't need you, bro.
I don't know. Can you do both? Can you say, all right, everybody, for OCIA class tonight, we're going to go over to the volleyball game.
Can you change the night that OCIA is on so that you can get, so you can hang out with the volleyball shoddies?
I think it'd be funny if you tried to teach class while you were playing and flirting at the same time. This is a very, this is like a very Hal from Malcolm in the Middle solution to the problem.
Sure.
It's like rent a bus, load everybody onto the bus, drive them over to the, you know, and or like Kramer when he's on the Jay Peterman bus tour, when he's really just trying to like drop off his trash. Anyway, What can you do? OCIA doesn't go all year round, does it?
I guess it probably overlaps when volleyball does. Short, but yeah, the time that you can go outside and play volleyball is.
Listen, you only need to go to volleyball and meet a lady one time.
That's true.
So you call in and just say, "Hey, can't make it tonight. Personal reasons."
Dude, volleyball.
Just make sure nobody will narc on you at the volleyball event.
Volleyball, that's a good point. You can call in sick and go play volleyball. Volleyball is so fun. Pickup volleyball is probably my favorite pickup sport. I know you're a big basketball guy, but I think I'm just built for volleyball. There was a glorious year in college when the RAs would all play volleyball. It was like the whole semester we were playing volleyball, and it was just so fun. And then I played intramural volleyball, and it wasn't as fun. There were too many more rules.
It got competitive. Yeah.
It wasn't the competition, because it was still fun and we were good at it. But there was like, you know, there were more stringent rules, and we had 5 against 6, and because we had a hole in our lineup, every time that invisible sixth man came around, we had to hand the ball over and they got a point.
What?
Yeah, and I was very confused. So I was like, we have fewer people, so we're already at a disadvantage, and then we lose the ball, and then they get a point. So we're like triple disadvantaged for not having everybody show up. I was like, maybe we're being punished for not everybody showing up.
It is funny to imagine that no person in Steubenville has more than 4 friends.
No, it's just you have a volleyball team.
It's only possible to field 5 at a time because nobody has the social skills to get a 5th friend.
There aren't enough people. There's only 2,000 of them on campus, true. And no one left campus back then. Now that Steubenville is the place to be, everyone leaves campus. No one has left. A bunch of my friends that were there when I was there still live in Steubenville.
Now that Steubenville's the place to be, said no one ever.
Now that Steubenville's the place to be. No, dude, it is. It is the place to be. Everyone's freaking moving there.
I played terribly at pickup basketball this week. I still think about it.
I'm sorry, dude. That's hard.
It was so bad. I've been making John upset.
Really?
I'll tell you a quick story about John. John is on the board.
You got to fix our screens, sorry. By the way,
John is on the board of the YMCA. So I think he's an attorney, but he comes and plays every Tuesday and Thursday with us. He's an older guy. And he hustles, he plays, but John also gets a little chippy sometimes.
He gets a little
frustrated when things aren't going his way on the court, which understandable. Who among us, has not gotten a little frustrated at sports. And Josh, my buddy who I play with, every week, him and I, we were, best friends for a long time. Josh is like my boy. So one week I'm not there, and John goes up to Josh and he goes, "Man, your friend Ethan, I don't know. He's never seen a shot he doesn't like." And Josh is like, I don't know if that's a fair, because he's like going to take my side, obviously, because he's like my friend. John was like trying to cozy up to him and be like, Ethan sucks. It was basically what he was trying to say. And Josh was like, I don't think so. I think he takes pretty good shots most of the time. And, sometimes he makes them, sometimes he misses. It's just part of the game. And John was like, I don't know. I think he shoots the ball way too much. And so then I go on Tuesday and I play, and I get the ball. We're in like a fast break. I get the ball and I do kind of like a little, like a two step. It's not quite a layup. It's like a floater. I'm like just a little bit further away from the basket. I've made these in the past. I miss it. I also took the first shot of the game. I missed that one too. So I had like two quick back to back, like misses. They were both good shots. I just missed them, So I don't feel bad about them. But after I missed the floater, John just kind of stopped and he just stood and he just like watched me run all the way back. And he just kind of refused to get back on defense. He stared at me. And for the rest of the game, I didn't shoot the ball. I was like, man, I don't want to make John mad.
He was like, he just defended you and you let him down.
Yeah. So it's, John never defended me. Let's be clear. Josh defended me.
Oh, sorry. I got the J's mixed up.
No, John, the attorney, he saw me miss two shots back to back, and he literally stopped on the court, and he stared at me and watched me as I ran all the way back on defense in like disbelief that I took those shots. So I'm trying to decide if I'm just like not going to shoot ever again, or if I'm just going to shoot way more. Like if I just need to just really lean into it.
Hey, I mean, yeah. I recall a wise man say you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
It's true. Like if you have an open shot, which I often do because I'm quicker than most people on the court, you take it. That's what I was always taught. I'm also not the greatest passer. So what do you want from me? Anyway. It's neither here nor there.
I imagine that could make you come off as a ball hog or a glory hog. You want the glory. Yeah. You're a hog. You're a truffle. You're sniffing for glory.
I'm a bit of a truffle pig, aren't I? I'm just...
You're a little bit of a truffle pig. That's a basketball term.
Yeah, I got to work on that. I just need to work on my court vision because I can see my shot, but I can't see where other people are. Like, I'm not good
you
enough
can't
to
see
slow
other
down.
People's shots. Yeah.
Yeah. I just need to play more, and then I'll figure those things out.
You need to get the security cameras from the Y, and you need to watch the tape.
Some people do that. Some people bring like tripods, and they'll record themselves playing.
That's crazy. I'm sure they're good.
Okay. Some of them are. Some of them are like former college players trying to like get a semi-pro deal somewhere. Some of them are streamers that are trying to like be in basketball influencers. You know. I think I should just bring it and just like set it up but not record. I just think it'd be funny.
see if it changes the game at all.
Yeah, see if things start to go my way. Who knows? Cool. All right, let's do the bonus podcast.
Yeah, let's do the bonus podcast. I have some thoughts on a certain influencer, and so we're going to talk about that.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about it.
Ethan is excited to talk about it.
I am excited to talk about it. Here's the thing. He likes to pretend. I can't wait to ruin your perception of how much it matters.
Of course it doesn't matter. Of course it doesn't matter, but we can still talk about it and have fun. Jeez.
I'm with you.
You never want to talk about stuff that matters. Like you don't want to talk about stuff in the news that matters. You also don't want to talk about frivolous stuff that doesn't matter. You want to talk about people's problems, which half matter. You want like you that's why we answer questions on the show. Because Ethan wants to talk about stuff that only kind of matters.
Yeah.
That's
what podcasts are for things that kind of matter. The podcast is not for anything important, and it's a waste of your time if it's frivolous.
Unimportant, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring this episode. Go to thefreedomgroup.co. If you want to break free of your porn craving, they work with you for a year. And if they don't get rid of it in a year, they work with you for free until they do. Thefreedomgroup.co. is great. We've sent a lot of people over there. Thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring the episode of the podcast. Ethan, do you have anything else?
Oh no, I'm dying. I need to get some medicine. I think sick on Monday and I'm still not recovered. I hate when sicknesses linger.
We'll go get yourself some Mucinex DM and then we'll start the bonus podcast.
Can you imagine if Mucinex slid into your DMs and it's like that ugly green guy,
those green guys with the hat
posting a selfie?
Hey, I'm a Tony Soprano parody. What? Yeah, I don't know.
I think he was just a guy in his house. I don't think he was a gangster.
I think what you just did
was racist against Italian Americans.
That's fine. It's the last acceptable prejudice is Italian Americans.
That's fair. All right, let's go to the bonus.
Gabagool.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.